Good afternoon and welcome to Who Cares Wins, your health and well-being show on channelradio.co.uk. I'm Jan Mulligan, and this week for you we have a revised repeat of last week's show. The reason for this is the show was just so jammed-packed with information and sneak previews and even breaking news about this coming Wednesday's Wellbeing Symposium that we couldn't resist but play it for you again. So sit back with your cuppa or other tipple, whatever your tipple might be, and enjoy our interview with Miranda Chapman, representing Wellbeing Symposium 2015. We have in the studio a live guest, so no more repeats, no more recordings. It's live today on Who Cares Wins. And I'm joined today by Miranda Chapman on behalf of the Wellbeing Symposium. Good morning, good afternoon even, Miranda.
Hello, gentlemen. Hello. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So you're with us today, and listeners will be aware of last week we played a preview show for the Wellbeing Symposium, which Andrew and I attend every year, and it's been running since 2012, so this will be the third year. No, fourth year.
That's right, fourth
I can
year.
Do maths, it's all right. I'll catch up in a moment. So it's the fourth year of the show. And so you've come along today to give us a sneak preview of what we can expect if we go along live to the show next week. So firstly, the symposium. It's quite a grand title, that. Can you give us a bit of background about the symposium and what it involves?
I can. We actually chose the name symposium quite carefully because it actually means an exchange of ideas and thoughts. And that's exactly what the symposium is all about. As you say, it's in its fourth year. And it brings together wellbeing specialists and spokespeople to debate, really, the wellbeing industry's hottest topics. That can often be the big topic, which is mental health in the workplace, mental health in the community and for the individual, to government wellbeing policy, topics such as obesity, resilience. And it's really an opportunity for the people who come along to it to share their expert knowledge and their advice.
So it's pretty broad brush. It's almost a topic that you don't cover.
I would say that across the 4 years, we have probably touched upon most topics. We're always really keen to hear back from people about topics that we aren't perhaps covering. I don't think there's anything that we wouldn't consider. We're quite experienced. The symposium is actually two organisations that have come together. It's probably quite important to say that. Wellbeing People are our partners in the event. So they're the people out there day in, day out, looking after wellbeing in the community and with businesses. And then we bring the other side of it. We bring the sort of the marketing knowledge, the event management knowledge, and obviously we've become very experienced in the conversation around wellbeing. It's something we're particularly interested in.
Excellent. So, say, Angela and I have been for the last couple of years, and the structure of the day is generally speakers in the morning with workshops and exhibition stands available throughout the day. Any of your best memories on previous speakers? You don't have to have a favourite, just a memory that comes to mind.
I would say Baroness Stedman Scott was the largest of life speakers that we've had. I don't know whether you've ever met Baroness Stedman Scott, but she's a phenomenal character. Last year, and you'll remember this, we had Steve Brown, the Olympian, wheelchair Olympian, rugby actually. He was inspiring, and we had a standing ovation for Steve. He's obviously had some huge challenges since breaking his neck in a very innocuous accident, actually. He fell off a balcony whilst on holiday with his girlfriend. And he's had to recover from that and went on to play wheelchair rugby for his country. So.
And he was captain, wasn't he, at the Olympics. And actually, in last week's Revised Repeat, we aired Angela's interview with Steve. So if you're interested in hearing his story, check out the show from the last week in October, and that interview will be there. But yes, as you say, to such a simple, silly thing of, not silly thing, but, you know, falling off a balcony, you wouldn't expect something so dramatic to happen.
No.
But life-changing.
You wouldn't. It was entirely life-changing for him.
Yeah. So that brings us neatly to this year's symposium. Let's start with the sort of housekeeping side of things. When is it?
It's the 11th of November, so it's Armistice Day, and we will be observing the minute silence on that day. It's at the County Showground.
And that's the Kent County Showground for our international listeners. So if you can hop on a plane, you need to be here by next Wednesday.
It is. I should remember that, really. It's the Clive Empson Centre at the Kent County Showground. It's a great venue, large enough for us to grow the event, which is what we're doing. And we're expecting over 330 people to the morning session.
Excellent. So the morning session is a paid-for session. One needs a ticket or to book in advance.
That's right.
And we'll come on to that side of things later on in the show. But in the afternoon, from sort of 1 o'clock onwards, it's free, open to anybody who can get there, yes?
Absolutely. We launched this last year. It's the expo part of the show. This year, we're actually opening the workshops in the afternoon, open to the general public as well. So I would urge anybody who's got an interest, a bit personal or business, in well-being and well-being for themselves, well-being for their loved ones, or maybe in their daily working lives, come up and have a look around. We would love to see you.
So you've touched on it there. It's certainly the afternoon is for anyone. But who are you trying to attract to the morning session?
Really, I would say health professionals, well-being professionals, anybody who works in local government that has a responsibility for well-being policy, those people working in perhaps obesity, anybody who's working in those areas of health where we're talking about, you know, prevention and cure. So it's quite broad brush. I think you've said that, or you've noted that already, but well-being professionals is a broad working title.
Right. And we've had themes to the symposiums in previous year. Last year was definitely mental health. What's the theme for this year?
We are absolutely delighted that this year we were able to secure Canterbury Christchurch University as a headline sponsor. And they have a wealth of experience across a number of their faculties. So along with them, we have a theme of engaged partnership. And that's really about pulling together all of those threads of well-being, taking a 360 view on well-being, you know, across the specialists, the individuals, the community, the educationalists, the government departments, and trying to talk about how we can all optimise well-being to maximum effect.
Excellent. So we're hoping there, folks, if you haven't been before, that some of that has tweaked your interest, and you might be getting ready with your pad and pen to note down how you can book a place. But what we're going to do now is play you a recording from one of the keynote speakers from last year's symposium. And this is Eleanor Mills and her interview, where she's talking about women, workplace and well-being.
So I'm here now. I'm just catching Eleanor before she jumps ship and heads off to Pastures New. Eleanor, a fantastic presentation. Just for our listeners, tell everyone, first of all, who you are. Just remind our listeners, in case they've not heard of you, or maybe not read your newspaper.
I'm Eleanor Mills. I'm editorial director of the Sunday Times, and I'm a columnist on the paper. I'm also chair of Women in Journalism. So I'm a passionate believer in women's well-being in the workplace, particularly around things like pregnancy and being work working mothers and the kind of stress that women put on themselves.
Yeah, fantastic. And it was very entertaining, your talk that you gave within the Wellbeing Symposium there, because again, this subject of women and wellbeing and women in the workplace can be sometimes a very fraught discussion.
Yeah.
Sometimes people won't necessarily want to raise it. So for our listeners, for the perspective of whether they're thinking about families or have families at the moment, what would be your biggest tip for them to consider regarding their own health and well-being and also trying to get that balance?
Well, one of the slides that I used in my presentation was of the when the oxygen masks come down if you're on a plane. We all know that from the safety talk. And one of the key things there is that you're, as a parent, you're encouraged to put your own oxygen mask on before you try and look after your child.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's a really important metaphor for women, because I think that too many of us put our own health, well-being, emotional stability right at the bottom of the list. And I talked about that quite a lot. I'm the mother of two young girls. And actually, you have to keep yourself on the road. You've got to put something back in, whether it's, I have to do some exercise or my back completely seizes up, so I do Pilates twice a week.
Wow,
I have to kind of get to, I know I can't go out more than two or three times a week, or I'm so exhausted I can't function.
Yes.
If you're going to, and my mum used to say to me, if you're going to function like a Ferrari, you need to eat like a Ferrari. So I try and eat properly, lots of fruit and vegetables and kind of, and but all that kind of stuff is actually really crucial for women, because we put our own, you can't run on empty.
No.
And if you, and life is a marathon, not a sprint. So if you try and always kind of put yourself and your health at the bottom of the list, you end up sick and not able to look after or support any of your loved ones. And that's my really key message. And the other thing is around when you go back to work after being pregnant, and really standing up for the fact that you might need some kind of flexible time, but also saying to women at that point, don't give up. You know, you've often, we've lots of us go to university now, we set up careers. So I would say it can be a real struggle when you're first starting out and you're a mum and you're trying to juggle work and home. Mm. Those first few years are tough. Hang in there.
Absolutely.
Even if you really scale back, keep a line into what you used to do before. You'll really be grateful when you're older that you did that. I've seen too many of my peers give up and lose everything that they'd worked so hard for, because it's so hard to get back in again.
Mm-hmm.
So however tenuous, however much you cut back, keep that link so you can get back in if
Definitely.
You need to.
Because life is so fast.
Yeah, life is so fast. And
it
also
is.
All of us women need to be able to support ourselves and our children.
Mm.
It's a real kind of fact of life. My mum always used to say to me, always get your own qualification, earn your own money, have your own bank account, and then you're never at the mercy of somebody else.
Absolutely.
And if you could talk to the 6-year-old you, is there anything looking back you'd do differently?
Six-year-old Eleanor. I was saying this to my daughter last night, I would just say, believe in yourself, you know, hang in there, don't try and be like everybody else, you know, keep buggering on, KBO, as Kate Church used to say, but also really believe that you will kind of, you'll win out in the end. If you're a nice person, you're kind and you do things for other people and you stick to your passions, really believe that, you do something that you love and that you're good at.
Brilliant.
It'll come good in the end.
Thank you.
And
so much.
And marry someone who will support you in what you do, not necessarily who everybody else thinks you should marry, but the person who's actually your fit
for the partnership, friendship.
Yeah, absolutely.
That support network.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time, Eleanor. Really, really appreciate it.
Well, if that doesn't inspire you to pop along and hear this year's guest speakers at the symposium, I'm not sure what will. The passionate Eleanor Mills explaining her philosophy of life and how to get on and do the best that's for you, your own well-being. This is Jan Mulligan on Who Cares Wins, sponsored by Kent Connections. And with me in the studio today, I have Miranda Chapman from the Wellbeing Symposium, enticing you listeners to pop along next Wednesday, the 11th of November, to the Wellbeing Symposium 2015. So we heard there from Eleanor, and we're going to hear in a moment from Miranda about the speakers lined up for this year. And I must say, there's one in particular that I'm keen to have a chat to, and I think listeners can probably guess when we go through that list. But just the mere thought of the speaker and the show next week is making me happy. So we're going to have a music break, and can you guess what it is? It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. If you feel like a room without
Health and Wellbeing Show here on Channel Radio.
Who Cares Wins? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio. On the bright side.
So I hope that's made you happy. We were tapping along here in the studio. Can't help but bop with that. I'm Jan Mulligan, and my guest today is Miranda Chapman from the Wellbeing Symposium. So you mentioned earlier, Miranda, that it's wellbeing people with yourselves, actually, Pilleri Barn, making up Wellbeing Symposium. But despite all the organisation you put in and all the help you get, it wouldn't be possible without the financial backing of some sponsors. So let's give them their due this year. Who have you got sponsoring the show?
So I've already mentioned Canterbury Christchurch University as our headline sponsor. We have the Health Insurance Group, who are an insurance and broking service for businesses and individuals worldwide. Golding Vision, part of the Golding Homes Group. They are absolutely key in building sustainable communities. And Kent County Council. I think most of your listeners will know Kent County Council.
Mm-hmm. Like them or loathe them, they're with us, they're supporting us, and they do a lot of good work.
Great. Okay.
Okay. But, always put a stop to that. Kent County Council, I find people, it's like Marmite. If, wherever you live in the country, it could be Essex, it could be Northamptonshire, it doesn't matter. Your local council, you either love them, loathe them, or tolerate. But we couldn't live without our local services. So we're going to give a shout out for them and encourage all the work they do and look forward to hearing from them at the symposium. So, as I say, before the music break, we heard from Eleanor Mills, who's the editorial director of Sunday Times, who's one of the keynote speakers last year. We've got several interesting people this year. I will get happy again when we get to my favourite. But if I can ask you to take us through probably the running order. Have you got them in that order, or am I putting you on the spot?
No, I can do. I can actually do them in running order.
Excellent.
I've been very well prepared by my colleague. So the first speaker that you will hear from is Lord Hunt. He is a Shadow Health spokesman and Shadow Deputy Leader of the House of Lords. So really, he's bringing our political experience to the event this year. He's going to be speaking directly to our audience, and also he's going to be on our speakers panel, which I will tell you a little bit more about later on in the show.
Excellent.
We then have Dame, or actually she's Baroness Tanny Gray Thompson.
I'm happy, folks.
She is truly inspirational. I think that's a word that can be genuinely applied to Tanny. She's entirely approachable. We've obviously been working with her across the past months, and she's just an absolute delight to work with. She actually competed in 5 Paralympic Games, and she's won 11 gold medals. And I think we were just having a conversation off air about whether perhaps people really do understand what she has achieved.
Absolutely.
I think she's going to be a fantastic lady to speak to.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, I'm in a little bit of fandom here. I've been following Tanny Gray Thompson since the early days when she very first appeared on the television doing things like the London Marathon, and just blew me away by her determination and gutsiness, and then to go on to win so many gold medals, world records, doesn't get the attention and the celebration that she's entitled to. And so I'm just thrilled that she's going to be there, and I hope to have the opportunity to interview her and to not get embarrassing as I do it, because you know what it's like when you meet your hero. So, Angela, I need you back for that one to keep me calm.
We would definitely make that happen. Actually,
thank you.
Just for your listeners, she actually won the London Wheelchair Marathon between 1992 and 2002, 6 times.
Mm-hmm. It was hers at one point. You almost watch her thinking, right, here we go, she's going to win. And then the first time she didn't, it was a real shock. But she came back, so that's okay.
Absolutely. We then have we're actually making a little bit of a break this year with how we're running this symposium. So we've introduced question time. Not a new idea. We're shamelessly sort of emulating the question time format.
Did we get the music beforehand?
We'll try and do something. We'll try and produce something for the day, but we can't use their music. So we have 4 people speaking on that particular sort of panel. We've got Rupert Gowley from Bupa, Dr. Robert Stewart, Hilary Still, who's from Kent Women in Business. Some of your listeners may know Hilary. And then we have a lady called Helena Connie Baer, and she's the founder and director of the Alcohol Education Trust, which is a charity which endeavours to delay the age that young people engage with alcohol.
Wow.
It's quite a big
important
topic.
Task there, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a sort of the question time session. And then we have...
Sorry, if I can just bring you back to that.
Of
the question time session. I've got a note here that it's called Engage the Stage.
It is.
Opportunity and for the audience to obviously put their questions. But I love the statement you made. Encouraging debate and shared knowledge, raising topical questions and critical debate, facing well-being today. So it might be inspired by the speakers that they've heard prior to then, but it, are you encouraging people to bring their questions along?
Yes, we are. Yeah. What would be absolutely brilliant as well is if we could get some engagement on those questions via our social media platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Our website has got lots of ways to contact us, so you can contact us by email or by telephone. We'd love to engage people. So just feel free to send those in to us over the next couple of days, and we will do our level best to make sure we ask as many as we possibly can of those experts on the day.
Excellent. And then you were going on to say your other speakers.
Well, we have a really, really interesting chap called Professor Stephen Clift. And I think he's going to be talking about something which many people will feel quite passionately about, because he's from the university, so he's from Canterbury Christchurch University. His title is, it's horrendous, it's the Professor of Health Education in the Faculty of Health and Social Care.
Imagine how long his business card is.
Yeah, really, really long. But the thing that he's going to talk about is... big interest of his, which is the potential value of group singing for health and well-being.
Ah, now I've heard the benefits of singing before. I think we've had to get at least one guest on advocating that. But group singing, you've got that embarrassment factor, haven't you, to get over first if you're not a natural singer. So this would be fascinating.
Yeah, well, we hope on the day. I'm not going to give too much away.
Is he going to make us all sing? Or encourage us to sing? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, we'll wait and see exactly what he's going to do. My colleagues are just doing the finer detail with him now, but I think that's going to be a really, really great session.
Excellent. And is that everybody?
I'm just checking my list. We've got a roundup from Kent County Council. So you've previously mentioned, you know, the value that the council brings to us, and they will be doing a wrap up. I don't know whether to do this now or when to do it later, but I will do it now. We do have an announcement to make today.
You're hearing it here first, folks.
It is here first, actually. We've actually only in the past couple of days we've engaged Eve Pollard. For those of you that don't know Eve, she is legendary. She's a legendary Fleet Street figure. She was the second woman editor of a national newspaper. I've followed her career for many, many years. I started out in the print industry. She joined the Daily Mirror in 1968 and ultimately became editor of the Sunday Mirror in 1987 and the Sunday Express in 1991. So she's going to be fantastic.
Oh, a wealth of knowledge, and I would imagine some good stories coming along with that. So looking forward to that.
A little bit like Eleanor, who you heard not so long ago. Mm. She's a woman in a tough sector.
Absolutely.
And they do bring some good stories.
Brilliant. Well, we're thoroughly looking forward to that one. So we're going to take another snippet interview break now. Some of our interviews, I should warn you, are a little softer than others, so you might need to play around with your volumes there. But this one coming up now, also from last year's symposium, is Maria Galago from the RBLI, which is very pertinent because of this year's symposium being on 11th November, Armistice Day, Poppy Day. And directly following Maria's interview, we have Proud by Heather Small, because not only does the symposium do good work, so all the people involved should be proud of what they do, people coming along and learning about well-being and taking that back to family, friends, community and workplace should be very proud of the work that you all do. So here we have Maria first, followed by Heather.
Hello, Maria.
Hello there.
I understand you work for the RBLI.
I do, yeah.
Just for listeners, yes. What is the RBLI?
It's the Royal British Legion Industries.
So people will know poppies.
Oh, yeah.
And is it linked to the poppy side?
The industries are linked.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, we do have the poppy shop down there. So.
Right, and your role is, I like your job title, Community Health and Wellbeing Officer.
It is,
It's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it?
It is.
So what does that keep you busy during the week? What sort of things do you do?
Oh, I'm busy all week. Basically, it's to prevent social isolation. I work mainly with veterans of all ages. And I go out and support them with different things, with befriending services. I'm working with the Kent Shed Project, doing a country garden with them. I do coffee shops. I go around doing cribbage. And basically being there for them, I support them going out on trips. And with their well-being, you know, if they just need a chat, someone to, you know, offload to, I'm there to listen.
And does it rely on them making contact with you, or is there any process where you find veterans and offer services?
I go into peer support groups for veterans. I go into all of the buildings in the Royal British Legion Village, so I'm around in Queen Elizabeth Court, Mountbatten Pavilion. I also go into the Golden Homes, Housing 21.
Right.
And I basically go and say, hi, would you like a chair aerobics class? And I worm my way into these places.
Because with your other hat, you're a fitness trainer.
I'm a fitness trainer, absolutely, yeah.
Right.
And then I go from there and I get invited to their coffee mornings. Uh-huh. And then I go in to talk to the residents that live in those homes and explain a little bit about what I do.
Right.
And if I do trips and so forth, basically it's open to everybody to come and join in. So
as I mentioned at the beginning, most people think RBLI and they think poppies, and that's obviously a big funding revenue.
Yeah.
But are you funded in any other way?
I am funded by the actual Royal British Legion, so I'm actually... I've been kind of given to the Royal British Legion Industries to do the health and wellbeing jobs. Yeah.
How long have you been doing that?
Just over a year now. Mm-hmm. But I did actually work in Mountbatten Pavilion because I was an independent living skills coach for special needs.
Right.
And I was grabbed by the manager in there and said to me, I think you do this job really well.
Uh-huh.
And I got the job and there I am, yeah.
So you've come to the Wellbeing Symposium today. Is this your first year here?
It is my first year here.
And how have you found it?
It's been wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Yeah, I've learned so much. The talks have been very good.
So you'll be here next year?
Absolutely, yeah. Big eye-opener.
Well, we'll try and track you down next year, see what your year has been like, see what other strings you've added to your bow. You're a very busy woman. Thank you for your time.
Bless you. Thank you very much.
Into the window of my mind, reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my can't stop me now, then you can do the same, yeah. What have you done today to make you feel proud? It's never too late to try. What have you done today to make you feel proud? Mm-hmm. You could be so many people. Still so many answers I don't know.
There are so many answers.
Realize that true question is
and radical change. Yeah, we need a change. Yeah, so do it today. Yeah, 'cause I can see a day horizon.
Your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio.
Who Cares Wins? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio.
On the bright side.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins with me, Jan Mulligan, and my special guest today, Miranda Chapman, representing the Wellbeing Symposium. And I'm proud to be involved in our little way on behalf of health and wellbeing, Who Cares Wins, to be involved in the symposium. And one of the things that we always look forward to is hearing about what the workshops are involving. So this is in the afternoon section. Everybody's listened to speakers in the morning if they've paid for their ticket to come in, had a lunch break, and lunch is available. And there are nibbles and drinks available all day long, but then there's a lunch break. And then after lunch, dotted around the venue are workshops that everybody can attend this year. Both ticket holders and the public can come free of charge in the afternoon. So, Miranda, what are you going to entice us with in terms of workshops?
There are 8 in total, so there's a good choice. I won't mention all of them because of, obviously our limited time, but mm-hmm. I will just go through a couple of them. I think listeners would be particularly interested in. The first one actually is from Kentivich Chamber of Commerce, who you might not expect to see at an event like this. And this is their first year, attending. And we're quite excited about their session because they're talking about, how working in partnership can increase awareness, of health at work and the impact it can have, not just on the staff, but also for the business and the wider economy. So they're really outlining why health at work is essential. It is, we all focus on turnover and sales and, making sure that we're on it all of the time, but we need to sometimes get back to basics and really focus on our health at work and our staff and the people that we work with.
So. And it's interesting, their title is Health at Work, Everyone's Responsibility, because it is a collaborative approach, isn't it?
Absolutely. We were talking earlier on off air about lunch breaks. And, sometimes it's the small things, like saying to a colleague, you haven't had your lunch yet.
Yeah.
Get away from the desk, go and have a break. So it can be tiny things through to much bigger things, perhaps, organised, park walks, perhaps it's, a bunch of you going and doing some activity together after work, before work, during work. So that's going to be, I'm really looking forward to hearing what the guys have got to say, because they work with businesses every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, I will mention one of our sponsors, actually, which is the Health Insurance Group. The title of their workshop is How Technology Has Enabled Access to Health and Wellbeing. I'm guessing that many of us have got some what's called wearable technology. my teenagers have taught me to say, wearable technology. So that could be anything from, the watches that are telling us how many steps we've taken to some of the apps, around exercise we can take, things that we can eat, should eat, shouldn't eat.
So I think that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What we should and shouldn't.
Yeah, absolutely. this event is more about what we should be doing rather than what we shouldn't be doing. So really please pleased to see the Health Insurance Group, you know, not just talking about the things you might expect them to talk about, but being quite innovative in their content.
And as you say, things that we're using already, such as smartphones, such as watches that might have alarms just to go off and remind you to take a break.
Yeah.
Simple things, but making a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And then our lovely people from Golding Homes, they're talking about health, housing and well-being. Obviously, Golding Homes and Golding Vision look after a large tract of people in the county, across the county. And they've teamed up with some with a organisation called HACT, which is the Housing Association's Charitable Trust, and they've got a general debate on health, housing and well-being, and how you can enhance value through effective partnerships. So they've really taken our title and they're working with it, and they're talking about a live project that they've got called the Health MOT Roadshow.
Right, excellent.
So that's it for the workshops.
So you say you've got 8 going on.
Yep.
Are they sequential? Are they parallel?
We've got 4 workshop areas.
Right.
And then there's 2 in each, and they are approximately 45 minutes long each. So you could get in, I think, 3. I'm looking at my colleague. You could go in here. 2 of them. She's holding her fingers up too. So the maximum you can get in is 2.
Right. So there might be some decision making to do.
It's my maths.
But hopefully you haven't gone along to this alone. You've gone along with a colleague, possibly from your own company or from another company that you can pal up with, and therefore you can share and do a collaborative approach of going to different workshops and then sharing your knowledge afterwards.
I love that idea. I think that's a really, really smart way of doing it. And I would urge people to do that. You know, turn up with a friend, turn up with a colleague, and really make the most of it.
Absolutely. And then all day, going alongside all of this, if you haven't got enough already from what we've just been telling you about, there are what's referred to as the exhibition, the expo stands dotted around the event. And one of those will be our humble selves, Who Cares Wins. So if you are at the symposium next week, drop by the stand, come and see us. If we're not there, it's because we're interviewing someone for a later show. But pop by and see us. There are dozens of others. Some we know because they've been interviewed for the show before, and some we don't. So, again, maybe some cherry picking of who people can see.
Absolutely. We've got over 25 stands at the expo, and I will only just pick out a couple of sort of headline exhibitors, but I would urge you to come and see all of them. My first is the British Heart Foundation, simply because it is so well recognised, but more because they offer such pragmatic advice to anybody that is concerned about their heart health, and we all should be. You know, coronary heart disease can strike anybody, doesn't matter how fit you are. We often hear about people running marathons and you know, at the end of it not being poorly, and at worst not surviving marathons. Mm-hmm. So come and have a listen to them, because they are a great bunch of people, and they've supported the symposium across the 4 years we've been going. I'm then going to pick out Juice Executive. This is an experienced team of people who have really good knowledge about sourcing and producing and distributing fresh juice in the UK. I know there's lots of debate about whether juice is good for us. I would urge you to come and have a chat with these guys, because they can really give you some down-to-earth information about juicing. And then finally, I'm going to pick out, I have prepared this, well-being people. It's actually the interactive zone. So this is the fun part of the event.
We've got smoothie bike.
Yeah, we have. We've got smoothie bike. We've got cholesterol and blood glucose testing. The interactive health kiosk, which, I mean, there's a warning here. They get very, very busy, because you can actually have your own health MOT on the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll look at key things around weight, your body mass index, your heart rate, your blood pressure. There's a tick list of things that they will check for you. It's about a 15-minute check. And then they give you a printout of your results showing, you know, how they compared with accepted medical standards. And if, you know, God forbid they find anything on the day that's a little bit of an early warning, they'll sort of say to you, look, get down to see your GP. Really worth coming to have that on the day. You can actually access this via your GP, so if you're there, why not do it?
Absolutely, and I highly recommend that. I did that last year, having been on what I thought was quite a healthy kick, taking exercises, lost quite a bit of weight over the previous 12-24 months, had my cholesterol done. Poor chap had to do it three times because he couldn't believe how high it was. It went off the scale first time. It came back onto the scale second and third time, but it was still quite high. And he kind of stuttered around the fact that he was a bit worried about me. Anyway, went off to the doctor. The doctor said, oh, no, don't worry. It's come down since then, and it's good and bad and whatever, but we'll just keep monitoring it. And thankfully, touch wood, no medication or nothing. Just had to be a little bit more sensible about what I was doing. So it's just a simple way of getting a quick health check. And a lot of us don't like going to the GP. And in a fun situation with friendly, supportive people to explain things to you, well worth popping along to the wellbeing people stand, and having that checked out. So you mentioned there the British Heart Foundation, and we have, as if by magic, got an interview from Kim Brophy from a previous year, which we'll play for you in a moment. But just before that, there's also an interview with Kim and Stephen Boggins of KB Occupational Health, who were one of the standholders last year at the symposium. And the thing I like about this interview is Stephen's comment at the end about all the music and the singing that was going on from one of the previous speakers. So two interviews back to back. And then, because if you look after your health, you're going to feel good, we have James Brown with I Got You, I Feel Good. Enjoy.
So I've come to the KBOHS stand at the Wellbeing Symposium this afternoon, and I'm with Kim and Stephen. Hello to you both.
Hi there.
Hello. And tell us a bit about what you're here to do today.
Well, we've come today to try and promote occupational health, and obviously the symposium today is about health and wellbeing, so we thought we were best placed to actually be here to let people know about what we do.
Excellent. And do you both do occupational health?
Primarily Kim's the occupational health specialist. We often find that with occupational health there is a safety element,
right?
And I tend to get involved with the safety element.
Excellent. So that complements rather well.
Very good. Yes.
Yeah. And do you do other services?
Yes. Well, we do work with a very wide range of other practitioners, including ergonomists, occupational health physicians, physiotherapists, counsellors, psychologists. Because what we like to do is try and make sure that if we can't help somebody, we know somebody who can actually help.
So basically, somebody has a question.
Yep. So we have a very wide range of people who we can actually refer into.
And are you based in Kent?
Yes. Yes. We've actually got our offices down in Discovery Park. We've been there since March, which is great because obviously there's an awful lot of people around at Discovery Park who are obviously starting to learn about occupational health as well.
And Discovery Park, that's the Pfizer site?
That's the Pfizer site down in Sandwich.
Okay. And do you travel outside of Kent?
Yes, we travel all over Kent, up into London. But a lot of the work that we do for people from a sickness absence point of view, we can undertake remotely. So if we need to speak with somebody on the telephone, then obviously we don't have to wait a long time before we make an appointment with them. We can try and do that in a speedy way. And remote management, the way that we work now, is becoming a lot more popular with a lot of the organisations that I work with.
And is this your first time at the symposium?
Yes, yep. And the reason we got involved was Hilary Barn, who partly organised this, spoke to us when we moved on site at Discovery Park, and asked us whether or not we'd like to take part. So here we are today.
And how are you finding it?
Very interesting, very interesting. Particularly the bit about the diaphragm and the singing. Because I love singing and dancing and all that sort of when I'm cooking.
Ah, right. So dangerous in the kitchen then.
Yeah. But I do it safely, of course.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you
very much, John.
Thank you.
And you're from the British Heart Foundation.
Yes, I am. I'm the community fundraiser for Kent and the East Sussex area for the BHF.
Excellent. And you've got a couple of campaigns on the go at the moment?
We have. I'm absolutely thrilled to be here today as part of the symposium because Maidstone has joined up with British Heart Foundation to become an official heart town.
Aww.
So effectively working
with... The beating heart of Kent.
Absolutely. working with the local partners and the community really to improve people's health and hopefully to fundraise for the BHF to continue our work.
Excellent. And how long has that been going?
We signed up in February, which was part of our sort of anniversary of our campaign for fundraising in February. We've got another one coming up next year. So it's just been a few months and we're starting to do things in a really different way.
Excellent. So are you getting youth clubs and local organisations to sign up?
I'm constantly impressed with what we do as an organisation at BHF. We have the most fantastic resources, all free of charge, for clubs, groups, schools. We do health at work initiatives and obviously working with companies. We asked that people perhaps think about fundraising for us so we can continue to provide those for free, but lots of our schools' resources, for example, fit in to the national curriculum. So effectively they actually fit with the actual timetable rather than an additional thing the teachers have to try and fit in.
And one of your events, I just noticed there was a leaflet that I was looking at, your lovely red table, and you've got this Ramp Up the Red.
Yes, we have.
Friday the 7th of February, so that's next year.
Yes.
2014.
Yeah, starting to look at this already. Effectively, it's our focus in February. We look at trying to raise as much money as possible and to make it as fun and easy for people to do that. So the Ramp Up the Red actually has its own website.
Great.
And you can sign up and register for a pack straight away. You'll get your information through and you'll get your pack in January. Lots of ideas, very easy to do, whether it's raising £20 or £200, it all gives you the ideas to do that.
And that's the website would be?
It's www.bhf.org.uk/red.
Nice things to remember.
Yeah,
I like that.
On our normal website, you'll find links for it as well, BHM.
And you mentioned freebies. You showed us the magazine.
Yes.
That's also
Heart magazine. One of our initiatives we have with the Heart Town Partnership, and available, obviously, for everybody, is our Heart Matters. It's a magazine that comes out bi-monthly, completely free, delivered straight to your letterbox, or you can have a downloadable version. You just have to, again, go online to sign up. Fabulous resource, lots of brilliant recipes. There's information for people that do have heart conditions, but there's also information about managing lifestyle changes, improving your heart health, updates on perhaps medications, all very, very plain jargon, very easy to understand.
So excellent, it's free of charge.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got a year. Oh, I feel nice. The sugar runs by. I feel nice. The sugar runs by. So nice, so nice. I got a year. I feel nice, a sugar and spice. So nice, so nice, I got a year. I feel nice, a sugar and spice. So nice, so nice, that I got a year. Wow, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would. So good, so good, I got a year.
Hey! Who cares wins? Your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio.
Channel Radio. Channel Radio. Who cares wins? Every Monday at noon.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins, and me, Jan Mulligan, with my guest today, Miranda Chapman. We've been talking about the Wellbeing Symposium, And hearing from some of the previous speakers, workshop runners and exhibition stand runners, they run, they walk, they stand, but they're there all to give you information on health and well-being and how you can support yourself, your family, your community and workplace. And as we've been saying, the theme for this year is well-being in the workplace, but that collaborative approach, supporting each other, encouraging each other, whether that be at a colleague level, managerial level or beyond. It's all important that we stay healthy and achieve good health and well-being for everybody's sake. That's enough of me waffling. We're now going to get down to the nitty-gritty. You haven't been before. What do you need to know to get yourself to the show, the symposium, next Wednesday? Over to Miranda.
Well, there's first of all, in terms of the venue, I think most people probably know where the county showground is, and it is really easy to get to. So it's at the top of Detling Hill. And we've actually got it well signposted, so you'll know the gate because we've got a huge sign up. There's two ways that you can get involved with the Wellbeing Symposium. First of all is perhaps coming as a ticketed delegate, so maybe part of your job, maybe it could be for, we're actually CIPD credited. I should have mentioned that probably earlier on. We were CIPD credited, accredited last year for the first time. So if you're looking for CIPD points, then again, come along.
Just to interrupt you there. That's continuing professional development. If anybody doesn't know, we love acronyms on this show, but we just sometimes have to break them down a little bit.
You certainly do. And for the listeners of Who Cares Wins, we're actually offering a show offer. So the tickets are normally £149, and we would be delighted to offer those to your listeners at £99.
That's lovely. Thank you so much for that.
And you gave me a code earlier on.
Yes. Actually. If when you're booking, you quote WCW for Who Cares Wins, and say, Jan said I could have a discount because her friend Miranda said it was okay. That's the secret phrase. But if you forget that, just tell them, Who Cares Wins, please may I have a discount.
Great, that's brilliant. Or alternatively, as we've said, from 1 o'clock onwards, it is the whole event is being thrown open to the general public. So just to recap, you can come and listen to any of the eight workshops. You can come and visit the exhibition stands, and I'm sure that a lot of the people that are there in the morning are going to be spending most of the afternoon with us as well. So if there's anybody that you particularly wanted to talk to and you see them, you know, walking around, Tanny won't be staying, I'm afraid to say. She does have another engagement to go off to, but, you know, there's going to be lots of the professionals there in the room. So opening up to the general public for exhibition and for the workshops.
Excellent. So where can I find all this information?
The very best place is to go to the website. So that's thewellbeingsymposium.com. And if you want to find out any more information that's perhaps a little bit more in depth, my colleague Sarah, she works on this pretty much full time. So she is sarah@thewellbeingsymposium.com. And she would be delighted to speak to any of your listeners and see if she can give them any more information that they may wish to hear about.
Lovely. Well, as always, we'll be posting that information onto our Facebook page and other social media sites. So if you've heard anything today that's interested you, if you've never been before, I would strongly encourage you to pop along to the symposium. If you can't get payment for the morning session, then at least try and pop along for the free workshops and exhibition stands, because that might mean you can take a business case back to work for next year to come along to the speakers. It's all about growing your interest, growing knowledge, sharing that knowledge and encouraging people to get involved. If you've been before, we look forward to seeing you again. And as I said, pop by the Who Cares Wins stand, introduce yourself, say hello. You might end up on air. Who knows? Nobody comes to see me, I'll know that you don't want to, so I'll come and find you instead. But thank you so much for your time today, Miranda. It's been a pleasure to meet you again and to hear from you about this year's symposium. Hope it all goes well.
Jan, thank you very much. It's been absolutely brilliant to come and talk a little bit more about the Wellbeing Symposium. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, we will see you next Wednesday. It's Wednesday the 11th, Kent Showground. It opens at 8 a.m. in the morning for ticket holders, 1 o'clock for the public, and closes around about 5 o'clock. Just a couple of events that are also going on this week. So ahead of the symposium, Wednesday is National Stress Awareness Day. If you want information on that, if you Google or other search engines do exist, National Stress Awareness Day, you'll find information there. Thursday, the 5th of November, as well as being Bonfire Night, is the start of Dyslexia Awareness Week. It's www.dyslexiaaction.org.uk. And the whole of November is Movember, Men's Health Awareness Month. It's the month where your man will suddenly sprout hair on his upper lip. Encourage him. It's all for a good cause, providing he's being sponsored. Well, I've had a lovely day so far speaking with Miranda about next week's symposium. We hope next Wednesday will be a lovely day, and we hope you all have the rest of your day being a lovely day. So playing us out, if you haven't guessed already, it's Bill Withers and Lovely Day. Have a good week, everybody. See you soon. Bye for now.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. Instead of me, always seems to know the way. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
is your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio. Who Cares Wins? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio.